being seated, please open your Bible up to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, if you're using the Pew Bible, that's 1062, page 1062. John chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 12 to 30. John chapter 8, verse 12 through 30. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And so the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." And Jesus answered, "Even I do bear witness about myself. My testimony is true. For I know where I come from and where I'm going. But you don't know where I come from and where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about myself, about me." They said to him, therefore, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself, since he says, 'Where I'm going, you cannot come'?" And he said to them, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." And so they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Just when I have been telling you from the beginning, just what I have been telling you from the beginning, I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him." They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." And as he was saying these things, many believed in him. Let's pray. Father God, you have placed before us this morning, again, the light of the world, Jesus. And for some of us, you have done with us a mighty miracle. You've placed before us this truth, and you've opened our eyes to receive this truth. And I pray for those here today, Father, who don't know Christ Jesus for who he is, don't understand who they are in comparison and their need for him. And I pray that through your Holy Spirit and the preaching of your word, you would bring more to Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So some of you who have FacePlace, that's what I like to call Facebook, FacePlace. Better name. We celebrated a big birthday this past week, didn't we, Linda? Big birthday, and the family of us that were in town, we gathered to celebrate. We gathered for a good feast. I actually cooked the meal, the crock pot did. The crock pot cooked the meal. Couldn't mess that up too bad. And Asher, Rainey, and I, after they'd got home from practice and school, we came together and we gathered together and celebrated Linda's years on this earth, the few years that she's been here. We have special Sanders traditions, celebrations that we do at that gathering on birthdays, and we did some of those. We didn't do all of them, but we did some of those. We didn't have her a cake. Shame on me, but we didn't have her a cake. Y'all haven't told me where I can buy good cakes around here. Makaria and Karis and Hart were part of it in some small way with cell phones. They called Linda throughout the day, and we incorporated them in some of our traditions. And then we just kind of had a big birthday party, and Linda opened her gifts, and she enjoyed them. We did okay with them, thanks to the providence of the Lord. And we celebrated her, and there was even dancing at one point. Just a nice celebration. The reason why I tell you that is this is, again, the context that we find Jesus speaking these words. The people are gathering. They're gathering together. They're bonded together because of their history and God's provisions, and there's celebration going on. It's the favorite feast of the four, the Feast of the Tabernacles, and they get to camp out all week. Can you imagine that, kids? I would hate that, but they didn't. They loved it. And they're sleeping in tents all week, and they're all together celebrating the Lord and His provision and how He led them out of Egypt and that slavery and that captivity. And they're celebrating these things. These three things are taking place: gathering, traditions and ceremonies, and at night a big party, celebration. We love that about Christmas and Thanksgiving. Some of us do, where there's gatherings, whether it's with the church or family or those we work with. And Jesus comes onto the scene and He says, "This is all about Me. Come to Me. Don't be caught up in the traditions. Don't be caught up in the celebrations. They're all pointing to something greater. They're pointing to Me, this provision. I'm the manna from heaven. I'm the source of living water. Come to Me," as the choir was singing. Come to Jesus is what He's saying. He's gathered with His people. He's present with His people at the celebration. And He's saying, He's making these bold claims. And we see in this context, and we talked a lot about His comment, His cry wasn't just a spoken comment. He screams it out, "I am the light of the world." And we believe that when He maybe said that, we don't know for sure, but when He said that, it was with the big four torches that they would light during this feast, where their celebration would be. And He says, "I am the light." It had these huge fire-lit lanterns or whatever, and He said, "I am the light." He did the same thing when they were doing the ceremony with the water and they were pouring it over the altar. He said, "Come to Me and I'll give you living water. And you'll never thirst again." He repeats the comments He made to the woman at the well. "I am." You remember that? "I am. I am. Ego eimi." He cries out the holy words. The perfect translation for the word that God gave to Moses at the burning bush. "Who shall I say sent me?" And He said, "Tell him I am sent you. I am the Messiah. I am the manna. I am the water. I am the light." And I want to show you what His words are putting light upon in this text today. And there's so much that the light has brought to us. It reveals our sin. I had an opportunity to call a football game at Lawrence Manning, and I gave myself a 5. So however bad you thought I was, maybe it was worse. But I didn't like the way I did. I felt like I aged that night. Hopefully I'll do better at Wilson Hall. Maybe not. But I couldn't see. My eyes just are not as good what they used to be. And I'm trying to get these numbers. And I'm looking through a dirty glass. And I've got my flashlight. And I was so thankful for my phone. I turned my flashlight on. And I could read the names because it just wasn't well lit. And that light brought great clarity to me about their numbers and their names that I couldn't see earlier. And this light has come. And Jesus said part of the aspect that I'm a light is that I will reveal to people their wicked deeds. I will show forth a light that will show you your wicked deeds. But here I want us to focus on the light of salvation. Jesus, in his interaction with these Pharisees, they have no desire to follow Christ. They have no desire to, unless there's something in it for them. If there's something in it for them, if there's something they approve of, or something that might help them and benefit them, even temporarily, they'll jump on board and be a part of it. Ooh-ah. But so often when Jesus does his miracles, they're just trying to find ways to diminish him and squelch him and push him down, rather than saying, how is this happening? I think we'll find what Jesus puts his light upon here in his words in regards to salvation. You'll find the same truths that were affirmed this morning by Tyson, Summer, and Rainey. You'll see the same truths. It's not something we just made up as a church. You've got to affirm to everybody that you're a sinner. You've got to tell people, I know that I don't have it all together. I know I'm a wreck. I know I can't save myself. I know I deserve hell. That's what they affirmed in that first question. You can go look back at the question in your bulletin that we were going to affirm together with our affirmation of faith. They said, I know I'm a sinner. That's going to be the first point. The second point in Jesus' words is that I rest upon Christ alone as the only hope. Not Jesus plus church. Not Jesus plus I've got to do all the good and be better than the other people. Not Jesus plus I've got to have the Lord's Supper and I've got to have baptism. Those are wonderful blessings from the Lord. Not Jesus plus I've got to be better. My good has to outweigh my bad. Jesus alone saves. And so we see this interaction and Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And the Pharisees' respond is you're bearing witness of yourself. You're bearing witness of yourself. Therefore, it's not true what you say. And Jesus' response is what? You don't know who I am. And you don't know where I come from. I'm not a mere man making these claims. I'm not a mere man making these bold boasts in the context saying, this is all about me. I'm not a mere man who says, I am, I am. You don't know who I am. Look at what his words say. Jesus answered, even I do bear witness about myself. For I know where I came from. You don't know where I come from. You don't know where I'm going. Verse 15, you judge according to flesh. Everything you think about is physical. Everything I've said is spiritual. But you judge according to what you see and what you hear and what you think you can understand. But that's not what I'm speaking to. I'm speaking to spiritual matters. Every statement that Jesus made to their questions, they would say, well, who's his father physically? He ain't talking about a physical father. He doesn't have a physical father. He has a spiritual father. He has the heavenly father. He was conceived by the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, we say in the affirmation of faith. You don't know me, is his answer. And then he said, and according to your law, you've got to have two witnesses. And if you knew me, you realize you got two witnesses. You actually got three. Because I bear testimony of myself. I'm God in flesh. My Father bears testimony. There's number two. He bears testimony of me. He's God the Father. And my Spirit bears testimony of me. But they didn't understand, did they? Look at verse 27. It says, they did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. Not Joseph, not any biological father, about the Father. They did not understand. The first spiritual truth of salvation that Jesus sheds a light on is, he points out their sin. Look at verse 19. They said to him, therefore, where is your father? And Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father. If you knew me, you would know my father also. You do not have the spiritual knowledge. You do not have the spiritual wisdom. You don't know truth. You've embraced lies, is what he's saying. And so he said, I'm going away. Look at verse 21, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself? You see, physical, he's going to kill himself. And that's the unforgivable sin if he kills himself, according to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In verse 22, and he says, where I'm going, you cannot come. He said, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. See, he's shedding light on the gospel truth that there's a difference between holy, holy, holy God and his creation. And we know that this came into the fall where man sinned against God, and it has plagued all of us throughout generations and generations and generations. And Jesus saying, you are in sin. I'm from above. You are not from above. You're of this world. And we know when Jesus uses those words, he's echoing the fact that we are sinners. And so in order to be saved, you have to come to the point that you recognize yourself to be a sinner. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned our own way. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And he's showing them in his words to their silly questions, their physical questions, he's showing them light upon the truth of the gospel. And those of you that have joined this church, you've affirmed that you believe this to be true, that you're a sinner. Now, it would really help us if we embrace that doctrine that we're sinners. It would really help us, not just in our salvation, to come to say, well, I need to be saved. I deserve hell. That's what I've worked hard for. I've spent my whole life earning my way to hell. For the wages of sin is death. I have no hope in myself. I have no hope in my mom and daddy. They can't save me. They're sinners too. I have no hope in my grandparents. They're sinners too. I have no hope in the church I go to. I have no hope in the pastor. He's a sinner. It's the crucial part to coming to know Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior is to be humbled by the fact and the knowledge that you're a sinner needing a Savior. Do you have that view of yourself? Are you always defending yourself? Are you always trying to prove you don't sin? It would help us in our arguments, wouldn't it, husbands, with our wife? When we have arguments, to acknowledge our sin rather than defend it and protect it, or do what I do so often is to turn it back on her. Well, you're a sinner too. What about you did it this way? That's just like it. You must recognize your sin to be saved. And Jesus is saying that. He said, You're from below, I'm from above. I come from the Father in heaven. You come from an earthly father. You're born in sin. I was pure, born not in sin. You know neither me nor my father. You know, I was thinking a good day for me spiritually would be me sinning three times. I don't think I've pulled that off in my whole life. But if I just sin three times one day, that would be a pretty good day for Pastor David. Would it be a good day for you if you just sinned three times? You had one horribly selfish thought. You lost your temper, or you were unloving to someone, or you told a half-truth or a falsehood, or you took something that wasn't yours, or you coveted after something that God didn't give you and you resented that person that God had given it to them. If I could just do that three times, that would be pretty awesome. Right? If I just did that three times a day, that would be 1,095 sins a year. I'm 53 years old. That would be 58,035 sins. That's a good day for me. A good life. The Bible tells us one sin condemns us to hell. Doesn't matter how holy we think we are, how good we are, how much we've accomplished good, we are still in that same chasm that's between the Father and His people, and we need someone to step in. We need a Savior to mediate that. And there's no way you can be saved. There's no way you can be saved if you don't know that you're a sinner needing a Savior. If you ever answer the question, if somebody says, hey, do you believe in heaven? Yeah, I believe in heaven. I believe God. I believe in a God. He's made himself known through creation. This right here today screams out there's a God. I have no question there's a God. Well, do you believe in a heaven? Yeah, I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a life after death. And I believe that. Well, do you believe you would go to heaven? Yeah, I believe I'm pretty good. I'm better than most. It's not the gospel. That's what the Pharisees were committed to. And they were lost as lost could be. And Jesus actually tells them, you're going to go to hell. You're not going to come to me. You're not going to submit to the fact that you're a sinner. And you are going to be separated from me forever. That's the first truth that Jesus points out in this text. The second one is this. Do you hear the second question they answered in the membership vows? It says, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of sinners? And do you receive and rest upon Him alone for your salvation? In order to be saved, you not only have to see yourself as a sinner, but you have to see Christ as the Savior. You have to see He is the only hope for you. That there's no hope, and the only reason why there's hope in Him is because of His perfect obedience. That He could be a legitimate sacrifice for our sin. If He had sinned one time, He would not be a legitimate sacrifice for our sin. He would need to die for His sins like we would. But because of His obedience, look at what He says later on in that passage. Look what He says in verse 28. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, that you will know that I am. Now that He is added. That He is not in the original text. The He in your translation of the ESV is added. He's saying, you will know that I am. When I am lifted up, you will know that I am. And then He said, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. Listen to what He says. For I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. See, Jesus didn't just come to the earth, God in flesh. He submitted Himself to the Father so that He would be fully obedient and perfect all the way to the time that He would be lifted up. We're 6 months in this text from Him being lifted up on the cross. And He had to do everything that the Lord had commanded Him to do, the Father. And as our Lord and Savior, He did that. He's saying, I come under His authority and I am modeling to you what it was supposed to be like before sin entered the world with you and Him. You know, you have to know your sin. You have to receive Christ for who He claims to be. You have to receive Him as the manna from heaven. You have to receive Him as the Lord of the living water. You have to receive Him with all the I am statements that we're going to give into that He is the good shepherd. You have to receive Him and believe Him and trust in Him for your salvation. That's what the ladies affirmed with the elders, and that's what they affirmed today before you. They got to, when they spoke to the elders, they told us their story. They didn't just say yes. And the elders said, that's a credible confession of faith. Jesus has asserted in this, He's brought light. I'm not from here. I'm not from below like you are. I wasn't born of man. I was born of the Father, but through the Holy Spirit. Through the tool and the servant of Mary, I came to you sinless, without fault, without blame, so that I could be your Savior. Do you believe that? Do you rest upon Christ alone for your salvation? If somebody asks you, how do you know that you're going to heaven? Would you say, because of Jesus? Ain't nothing I've done to get me to heaven. If God asked me why should He let me into heaven, I say, you shouldn't. I deserve hell. I love it. I love this thought, and I say it all the time. Y'all get tired of it, but because of Jesus. That's the only reason why I should be going to heaven. Because I am righteous in Christ Jesus. Because I believe and put my trust in Christ Jesus. And even that is, I have to give you credit for. That you had to turn my stone heart, my hard heart, and cut it out. And give me a heart of flesh. Some of you know it. You know that miracle. There are different stories all about of how you came to know Christ Jesus as your Lord. I hope you think about it. When the girls were sharing their faith, I heard the theme in each one of their stories. And there were some overlapping where the theme was the same. Obviously, the gospel was the same. But they all had different stories of how they came to know Christ. And one's the theme of God fighting for that person, fighting for them every moment to fight with their rebellious heart. Another one was to help them grow in confidence of their assurance of salvation. And another one was seeing how God had specifically directed their life eke out, when they didn't think that God even was being thinking about them, when they had to do hard things or move to certain places, and they said, and they saw God's loving hand upon them. But their salvation wasn't in the theme, their salvation was in Christ Jesus. It wasn't in some sweet story. Well, I think church is great and I like going there and I kind of try to be nice to people and I've got baptized and I've had the Lord's Supper. It's nothing. It's I'm a sinner who deserves hell and I rest upon Christ alone for my salvation. It's the only hope for any of us. I know I've got to bring it to an end. Notice this about what Jesus says. Jesus is calling. He said, come to me. But he's telling the Pharisees in this text, there's going to come a day where it's too late. There's going to come a day where you can't receive me. There's going to come a day where you've kicked the can down the road too far. And you will not come to be with me. And we have a loving Savior who died on the cross for His people's sins, who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not why they do, while He was being crucified, who was patient with a bunch of ragtag disciples and patient with a ragtag group of followers of Christ. And yet He says these strong words. When you've lifted me up, and that term lifted me up, I wish it could roll off my tongue, but I'm going to have to go back. I'll have to come back to that next week. But what He's referring to, which we know based on how that word's used, is He's saying, when I be lifted up on the cross, He says, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own authority. But He says earlier in 24, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. There's a ticking clock here. We don't know God's clock. We take it for granted. We take advantage of it. But there's a clock ticking here for us. And you have been presented, those who've been able to be here faithfully the last few weeks and today, you've been presented with the gospel, the clarity of the gospel. Light has been placed upon the gospel. And for those of you who have received Christ and put your trust in Him, you have that eternal hope and forgiveness of your sins. But those of you who have not, the time is clicking. Is ticking. This is a blessing to us that God would give us light upon the way of salvation. We're to praise God the Father for sending His only Son, the bread of life, the manna sent from above, the source of living water. He who comes to Him will never thirst again. And Jesus cries out to you all, come to me. Let's pray. Father, I pray that Lord, I feel like I try to make Your word powerful and I can't do it. And it ain't up to me to make it stick. But it's Your Holy Spirit that can make it transform lives. And so I pray that Your word would not go out void. And as we hear the truths of the gospel, as Jesus sheds light on that, Lord, may we not waste this opportunity to come to Christ. For those who've never done that, Lord, that they would seek out the elders in this church, seek out the pastor of this church, myself, and seek out conversations about the claims of Christ Jesus and come to Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.